You some kind of words that focus on some of the fragility of life and yet how we hold together, and that's kind of a good definition of who we are as a community. You know, if everything in life was handled and we could just do it, why bother? We would just go do our own thing Sunday mornings. But for life in general, it's more than Sunday mornings. We are a community to try to find those spit and safety pins. I use duct tape personally, but I know it didn't work in the song as well, so we'll let that go. Well, so good morning, Jacobswell. I'm Greg Meyer, pastor and grandfather of the baptized, or the Baptist, according to Evan. Always one Baptist in every congregation. So, it's good to have you all here this morning. You'll see on your back of your Sunday papers, there's an outline. You're welcome to follow that along. You certainly don't need to if you don't want to, but you might want to do that. Before I launch into the thoughts for today, I need to mention Steve Leverenz, who's been a very, very active member of our community for a long time, just been a real important person to lots of us. He's been living with cancer for a long time and really defeated his last round of cancer as well. It came through really well, but he also developed an interstitial lung disease situation and really became critical about 2 weeks ago, and on Thursday, he died. So terrible news and tragic. We're with the family. Well, it'll be about this, because of the New Year's and everything, having all the details settled isn't quite all figured out, but we're expecting that the ceremony, the memorial service will be on Saturday, around midday, so you can watch our Facebook page or steveleverenz.com if you read his blog. Stuff will be there as well. So we hold the family and friends and all of us in prayer as we go through this. So we're diving into the series on the movie Inside Out that was a Pixar Disney blockbuster that just came out this last year. You're probably familiar, the month of August, we always do a series we call Godflix, and we do a different current movie every week. But we thought we didn't want to wait till August for this because it's just like so potent, and also we thought it needed more than 1 week. So we're taking 3 weeks to do a Godflix, and we're looking at Inside Out. And really what this is about, and like the subtitle we put with this is, what is your emotional intelligence? Is it, well, you know, why does that really matter? Why churches bother to talk about emotional intelligence? And I think it's pretty basic. It's your emotional intelligence really gives you the ability to know who you are and to understand why you think and feel and do the things you do. When we aren't emotionally intelligent, I know a lot of life just happens to us that isn't terribly constructive. It's hard to have relationships with ourselves, relationships with God, relationships with other people, or even creation around us. So it's really a very pivotal point. And, and emotional intelligence isn't just for people who've got problems, you know? It's for all of us. Or another way of saying it, emotional intelligence issues are for everyone, people who have problems, like all of us, you know? Because we do. It isn't something, it's not like growing up, you know, if you physically grow up and now you're big and that's done. No, your emotional intelligence is always under construction. It's something that is always being figured out. It's so complicated and dynamic and complex, and we always have to do it. And plus, we're not only responsible for our own, but for the people that are around us, and for little ones like Hannah growing up among us, who is sort of the Riley in the story, and how do we help her grow up? How do we help these other people grow up around us so that they have that same sort of skills? So, and unfortunately, in our world, there's a lot of misunderstanding about what it means to be emotionally whole, emotionally healthy. And I think really that's why Pete Docter, who was the main writer for this movie, and by the way, comes from the Twin Cities, thus all the illusions, Riley comes from Minnesota, right? The reason he identified this as such an important thing to make a movie about is the exact same reason why we feel like we need to talk about it, because of all these hurting places. So what's missing when we don't have this kind of emotional intelligence? One is it's hard to be compassionate to ourselves when we don't understand what's going on inside of us. It's also, we're also empowered to be our full selves when we do understand emotionally what's happening inside of us. When we are emotionally unintelligent or immature or, you know, undeveloped, we have a hard time not judging or treating other people unfairly. We also misunderstand the actions that other people have, their behaviors towards us, so that we often get hurt when we don't need to be, and we hurt others when we really shouldn't. It also limits what we can accomplish together, because we don't understand how other people are operating, and so we stay away from things that we should. And I think basic to all of this is without this same kind of growing emotional intelligence, we get out of sync with God, and we don't know how to be in sync with God, who operates in our lives at that deep down, woven into the fabric part of our lives, where we need to have really grown up in so that we're in touch with it, and we see how God could be working in us and through us and in the world around us. So we're going to take these 3 weeks to chip away at these misunderstandings. No, we can't fix them all or solve them all. We can't even begin to talk them all. But what we can do is kick off a conversation that I think God is very eager for us to take seriously and understand how God is in it with us so that each of us can be doing our work within ourselves, with our families, with our friends, with group life as we go through that this week as well. And so that's what we're looking forward to. So this movie, this Pixar Disney movie Inside Out, we're going to be showing some bits and pieces from it. How many of you have seen it, by the way? Most of you, not everybody. So spoiler alert, there are no spoiler alerts. I mean, you really can't. This is a Disney movie, folks. You know how it's going to end up, right? You know, everyone lives happily ever after. There's a lot of drama, but it gets resolved. You know, it turns out the way you want it to turn out. So don't worry, we can't ruin this. The magic of the movie is how they play it out and how you see it happen and how you identify with it. So don't worry about it. If you haven't seen it yet, watch it before these next couple weeks because I think it'll add some value. If you already have seen it, you may want to go back and watch it again because I think hopefully we're going to bring some new stuff to it for you. So, and by the way, the kids are with us today, but the kids are going to be in their own programs in the next couple weeks, and they're also looking at this movie actually for a longer period of time, pulling out some of the stuff. So that's something for you parents to have a heads up on. These could be some good conversations for you to be having as families. So the movie is basically about this little girl, Riley, who is born in this family, and we start getting acquainted with the emotions that are within her. And these emotions, for you know, simplicity's sake, they boiled it down to five. And I've read stuff from the directors and from the screenwriters. They don't want us to take these five too seriously. It's the five they decided to work with. All right, so we're going to work with them too. But you can make it six or seven or three or four. I don't care. You know, you can divide them up differently. That's not the point. But let's go ahead and meet Riley and meet the first two emotions that come into her life. That's joy and sadness.
It was amazing. Just Riley and me, forever. For 33 seconds.
I'm sadness.
Oh, hello. I'm joy. So, can I just, if you could, I just want to fix that. Thanks. And that was just the beginning. Headquarters only got more crowded.
Okay, so there you meet joy and you meet sadness. Now, okay, this is for the sake of all, I'll say this is for the sake of the kids, but it's actually for all of you, okay? So find a person that's next to you that you can be embarrassed with and look at them, and what does sadness look on your face? Caroline and Jordan, so you look at each other, Yeah, do it. Find a person. What's sadness on your face? Go ahead. You're good at that. Pouting, a lot of pouting lip. All right, now joy. What's joy look like? All right, I want us to feel this stuff, okay? Thank you. All right, so that was just the first two, but then we have some more to meet. Let's meet disgust and anger.
Here we go. All right, open.
This looks new.
Make it safe.
What is it? Okay, caution. There is a dangerous smell, people. Hold on, what is that?
This is disgust. She basically keeps Riley from being poisoned. Physically and socially.
That is not brightly colored or shaped like a dinosaur. Hold on, guys. It's broccoli! Yuck! Well, I just saved our lives. Yeah, you're welcome.
Riley, if you don't eat your dinner, you're not gonna get any dessert.
Wait, did he just say we couldn't have dessert?
That's anger. He cares very deeply about things being fair.
So that's how you wanna play it, old man? No dessert? Oh, sure. We'll eat our dinner right after you eat this!
Right, right, here comes an airplane.
Oh, airplane. We got an airplane, everybody.
And there we are, back to joy. So, turn to the person next to you. What does disgust look like? Boy, you guys are good at that one. What about anger? What does that look like? Yeah, you can enjoy this. It's good. Okay, so we got one last in our cast of characters, Fear. Let's meet Fear.
Very nice. Okay, looks like you got this. Very good. Oh, that's sharp turn. Ah, look out!
That's Fear. He's really good at keeping Riley safe.
Easy, easy, huh? Hi, back! Oh, we're good. We're good. Ooh, thank you. Thank you very much.
And we're back.
So here got this cat. Oh yeah, what does Fear look like? All right, good. Thank you for working with me on that. So we got these, our cast of characters. We got Riley with these five emotions that are within her that are at the console, right? This thing that's driving her, and One of the things is that we've got all these emotions in us, and like I said, there could be a lot more than just these five, but we got these emotions within us that are taking their time at the council. But I think we have this understanding. I was talking earlier about these misunderstandings we have about emotional intelligence, and one of them is that we may have lots of emotions, but there's only one that really counts. There's one preferred emotion. What is it? Joy, right? Supposed to be happy. Did you notice, okay, Fear had its time. It stopped her while she's trying to go over the cord and maybe knock the lamp over. But as soon as he was done, Joy jumps in there and takes over again, right? Got to take over. And, by the way, knocks the lamp over anyway. So, but that's how it is. But these other emotions, we might say there should only be one. It should always be just about joy, but it really doesn't work that way very often. You found that out at the very beginning of the movie. Joy thought, naively had this lifetime of wonder with Riley, but it only lasted for 33 seconds before sadness found her way in there and pushing on the control panel herself. Kind of how it is, that's what we're going to unpack a little bit today. But this idea that we have so many of these emotions all close together. If you want to look at this picture, this is Katie, my daughter. Whoa, you zip past it, I think. Go backwards one. My daughter Katie does this quite often. She'll put an amalgam of all the pictures she can take of Hannah's face, like in 1 minute. All right? So I don't know if you can quite make out all five of those emotions in there, but it's pretty darn close. Just bang, 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 bang. We got them going on. We might think that they're far away, but this is when she was only 2 months old, but already all these emotions were at work within her, calling the shots within her. So on your Sunday papers, you're going to find this, but there's a common myth that we all live with. And that we need to address, we need to talk about, we need to be aware of. And that is this myth that to be whole, we should be one thing as purely as possible. We should be one thing as purely as possible. That's what wholeness is. That's what healthiness is. That's what it means to be a solid individual. And wholeness is good, right? We all want to be whole. I think that's right. We do want to be whole, but we think the way to do that is to be one thing. It comes out of homogeneity or singularity or conformity, or at least as close as we can be to it. Now, there are other emotions, and we know they're inevitable. They're going to happen, but they're less desirable, And they're really, we kind of see them as impurities to our personality. We want to get past them. We want to, you know, get them out of the way as much as we possibly can and get back to what life is really all about, this ideal of joy. So that may be a common myth, but a simple truth about the very same thing is, well, you know this already, you can have too much of a good thing, right? You can have too much of a good thing. Can you really always be happy? I mean, really? Can you always be happy? Is it good to always be joyous in face of loss or in hurt or worry? I mean, when your best friend just tells you she lost her job, is this a real good time to be happy? You know, or to be joyous when you find out that, you know, someone has just realized that they have a very serious disease or illness or something like that. So is this a time to be all joyous with them? Yeah, no, I think there's a time and a place for lots of things, and maybe not that one all the time. So the Bible has a verse that many of you perhaps have heard, that it's, by the way, for you younger kids that were with Heidi in Children's Ministries, and she ever makes you memorize a Bible verse, this is the verse you want, all right? It's rejoice always, all right? The citation is harder to memorize than the verse. It's 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Yeah, try to say that fast. Rejoice always. I mean, so the Bible seems to say that too. I'm supposed to always be joyful. Well, we're going to unpack that a little bit, because the kind of joy that that verse is talking about isn't this simple kind of joy. It isn't this, oh, I'm happy all the time, or everything's okay, I've got a smile on my face kind of joy. In fact, that's the next fill-in on your outlines. Joy is complex. Joy is complex. It doesn't just operate at the surface. It doesn't just have one ingredient in it. It isn't static. It's very dynamic. It's very deep. It's very complicated. So I want to just take a moment and look at what joy is all about. This is where this movie is trying to take us, and I think it's the first stop in our understanding how the other emotions work in our lives. And it is also, I would say, joy is a very big topic in the Bible. It's referred to a lot. The word is used, rejoice, be joyous, joy, things like that a lot of times. And the interesting thing in the Bible, it's used very consistently. The understanding of joy, when the Bible talks about joy, is that complicated, deep, complex, which is similar to complicated, dynamic sense of what joy is all about. And I think it is a sense of joy that we all resonate with. I mean, we all know it already. This isn't new news to us, but most of the time, we don't really operate that way. We operate with joy in a much simpler context. So there's this Bible verse that I want to share with you that I think really kind of helps us. And I want to just read it to you flat first, right? This is Paul, who's one of the people taking the message of Jesus to the world around him after Jesus' death. And he writes, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Now, is that a sleeper or is that a sleeper? I mean, it's just so full of nice words. You just kind of read it and say, yeah, sounds good to me. It sounds trite, but believe me, there's some real strong, real tough stuff in this. I could talk about this for 20 minutes, and I promise not to, even though the Packer game isn't until later in the afternoon. What? I knew the crowd would get ugly. So just let me take this. I want to take us through this bit by bit a little bit. First of all, you need to know that Paul was just talking to the communities that he was writing to about some very difficult issues. He was basically talking to them about the fact that there are people that they have never included in their communities that Paul is saying they belong in your community. God loves them just as much as God loves you, even though they're not Jewish people. And God, in fact, is using them just as much as God is using you. And this is a tough message for them. So after all of that, after he lays that all out and stretches them, challenges them, he says this. He says, may the God of hope, let's just stop there, the God of hope. This isn't the God of magical powers. This is the God of hope. The God that has what? Sees a future of promise, right? Isn't that what hope would be? A God who sees a future of promise fill you with all joy and peace. With this God that has this future of hope fill you with all joy and peace, not just joy and peace, but realizing that joy and peace have lots of elements to them, lots of arms and legs, all of it. God says, may this God fill you with all those things. And it's interesting, too, that joy is paired with peace. Why? When you think about peace, these are the two things two important issues. I mean, we all would like to be joyful. We would all like to have peace. But peace, too, is not talking about the absence of violence or turmoil or chaos. When he's saying this, this is the word shalom that Jesus probably used when he was actually speaking. This idea that I could find some serenity, I could find some centered place within myself despite what's going on around me. Or it doesn't mean there isn't violence. It doesn't mean there isn't turmoil. It means that I'm at peace even though. Same thing with joy. This doesn't mean that everything around you is happy right now. But despite what it is, I have somewhere deep within me a sense of joyfulness even though, despite that. So that I think it lets us know that joy's got to be interpreted at that deeper level, just like peace does. And then I think it's also interesting that it says, this God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. Now, fill, the word there, I'm not going to, Greek lesson, right? But I won't tell you what the Greek word is, but that word is probably just as well, in fact, I think it should be translated complete. That's really what the word means. It means to be completed. In other words, you aren't an empty vessel, and God's got a pitcher and is pouring some joy and peace in you. No, God is trying to complete you. God is trying to help you understand and experience all of this kind of joy, all this complicated peace, so that you could be a complete person. Could God complete you with this stuff? Not fill you up, but complete you with it. I think there's some important differences there. And then it has this in believing. May the God of hope fill you, complete you with all joy and peace in believing. This isn't the checklist believing. If you believe in Jesus, then you're going to get filled with this stuff. That's what God does to people who believe in Jesus. No. Again, we talk about this a lot at Jacob's Well. 9 out of 10 times when you find the word believing in the New Testament, you should translate it as trusting, which is the same word in Greek. But in trusting, can you trust this God of hope? This God that has a future of promise. You can't have it, you can't know it, you can't be sure, but can you learn to trust in that? Because when you do learn to live in trust with that, you're going to find that something is happening inside you, and your life, you as a person, are being completed, and there is a sense of joy and a sense of peace despite what is going on within you. Short verse, and I can talk forever about it. This is not the 20-minute version, believe me. So that you may abound in hope, so that you may be abound in what? This a vision of the future, so that you may be filled with this vision of the future by the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit. This isn't like God's magic. God's going to zing this on you, and now you've got it. But that power of the Holy Spirit is this gift. The Holy Spirit is a way that I think the Bible talks about this. How does the world really work? What is existence really all about? God is able to see that. We can't. God's Spirit at work within us, the power of the Holy Spirit, is this ability to at least get glimpses of it. So we understand, we get pulled forward, even when it doesn't quite make sense to us, but we know it's the right thing to do. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing by the power, I better read it because I can't remember, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's some good stuff there. So joy is meant to be complex. It's a part of something bigger. It is never found on its own. Joy cannot exist on its own, just like it couldn't exist in Riley's life on its own for more than 33 seconds. And so this is the next thing on your outlines. Driving a joy, when joy drives solo in your life, joy is really just happiness in disguise. All right? When joy drives solo in your life, it's really just happiness in disguise. Now you're thinking, well, what's wrong with happiness? I mean, I like happy. Yeah, I like happy too. Happy is good, but happy is not joy. There's a real important difference between happiness and joy. And that is that happiness is situational. It's dependent on the right circumstances so that you feel happy. It isn't always possible because it relies on the right set of circumstances in your life right now. So there are times when it's just plain impossible to be happy. But joy is different. Joy finds its footing much deeper. It's not just anchored in whether things are going right for me at the moment or not, but it's anchored in this, what? This vision of the future, a future promise that I know that I can be a part of and in which I can trust the purpose and the hope of life within it. So that's your next feeling. Joy, unlike happiness, is not dependent upon circumstances. Instead, it isn't dependent on circumstances, it transforms circumstances. We see things, we encounter people, we encounter life differently because joy is there. All right? It doesn't rely on those circumstances, but it changes them. Jesus says this, He says, very truly, I tell you, you will have pain, but your pain is going to turn into joy. When a woman is in labor, she has pain because her hour has come. But when her child is born, she no longer remembers the anguish because of the joy of having brought a human being into the world. I haven't done that, so I can't necessarily say it's true. But my wife has done it 4 times, and what I've seen is, at least for the moment, she's pretty happy when that happens. I mean, why do we keep having kids except there's something that's worth it, right? I think he's right. So then he wraps up by saying, so you will have pain now, but I will see you again. I will be at work within your heart, and you will rejoice. And this is what I think is key. And no one will take your joy from you. In fact, kids, this is what I'd like you to remember from this. If you can remember those words, no one will take your joy from you. It's something to tell yourself, no one will take my joy from me. Happiness? Yeah. Because there are places for other emotions, but can they work together to do that? So I want to see, there's a point here in the movie where joy is trying to be the one person act, the way it all works, and to keep these other emotions on their own. Let's take a look at this where Joy is directing the whole show.
Anger? Unload the daydreams. I ordered extra in case things get slow in class.
Might come in handy if this new school is full of boring, useless classes, which it probably will be.
Oh, sadness. I have a super important job just for you.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Follow me.
What are you doing?
And there. Perfect. This is the circle of sadness. Your job is to make sure that all the sadness stays inside of it.
So, you want me to just stand here?
Hey, it's not my place to tell you how to do your job. Just make sure that all the sadness stays in the circle.
See?
You're a pro at this. Isn't this fun?
No.
Attagirl. All right, everyone, fresh start. We are going to have a good day, which will turn into a good week, which will turn into a good year, which turns into a good life.
Yeah, I wish it was that easy. But it isn't, you know, and joy doesn't exist on its own, and happiness can't be a steady diet. And I find, actually, the whole idea of how these emotions go together and how we have this preference of joy to be a lot about how we think about food and taste and stuff like that. I need some kid to be a volunteer here for me. You, up there in the red. Come on down. I can't quite see who you are in the lights. So you know, we have all these different flavors, right? But just without answering this question out loud, when you think of all the basic flavors and you think about, your name is?
Andrew.
Andrew. Think about someone Andrew's age. What do you suppose his favorite taste is? Just taste. Taste. Don't say it out loud. Come on, you guys. Prejudice. Okay. So are you willing to do a little experiment with me? I've got something here. Let's see if I can pull this off. Voila. So I've got some flavors for you, all right? First of all, you can choose one of these. I have a chunk of bread. Exciting. I have a teaspoon of soy sauce.
Soy sauce.
I have, these are really good for you, Andrew, frozen peas. Or I've got a teaspoon of brown sugar. Which one would you like?
The brown sugar.
Brown sugar? Now, why am I so surprised? Okay, go ahead. You can have the brown sugar. You like it? So, is that kind of what you would, yeah, that's kind of fun, like that? You like that a lot over these others. So, finish that up. So here's a cup of it now. Do you want to eat that? Is that pretty good? No. Come on, you barely dented it. You got a lot to go there. We're waiting. Are you kind of like telling me that was enough?
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Thanks, Andrew. You can go back. All right. I think the point is kind of made. I mean, just kind of like with emotions, we have this idea that, you know, got lots of emotions, but it should be about joy, right? I mean, we also have this maybe fairly naive idea that, well, sweet's best, you know? And we kind of mature to realize that, well, maybe I don't always just want the pastry or the chocolate ice cream or something like that. Well, I take it back about the chocolate ice cream, but... And in fact, it's not only a matter of our preference, but I think there's something physiological in us that says, to be healthy, you can't just eat sweets. You got to eat other stuff. You know, and that helps keeps healthy. And I think our bodies really do the same thing with our emotions helping us do that. We need to understand that there's lots of different things that we need to be having as part of us. And it doesn't work, and in fact, it isn't even possible to only have that one experience in our lives, even though we would like our life to only be joyful, only be happy, and we would like the lives of the people around us to only be that way. Let's see this clip from the movie here.
What can we do? We only got capital to last a month, maybe two. If we can't find investors by then, we're going to have to lay people off.
Mom! Dad! Come kiss me goodnight!
I know,
be right
I know.
There.
We got to land this, okay?
Did you hear Dad? He sounded really upset.
We had a rough start, but think of all the good things.
No,
that...
Joy. There's absolutely no reason for Riley to be happy right now.
Well, we all have our off days, you know. Hi, honey.
The mom bad news train is pulling in. Doot, doot.
Still not moving, Van. Now they're saying it won't be here till Tuesday. Can you believe it?
Doot, doot, doot.
Where's Dad?
On the phone. This new venture is keeping him pretty busy.
I rest my case.
Your dad's a little stressed. You know, about getting his new company up and running.
Now, for a few well-placed withering scowls.
I guess all I really want to say is thank you.
Huh?
You know, through all this confusion, you've stayed... Well, you've stayed our happy girl. Your dad's under a lot of pressure. But if you and I can keep smiling, it would be a big help. We can do that for him, right?
Whoa. Well... Yeah, sure.
What did we do to deserve you?
Mwah.
Sweet dreams.
Good night.
Well, you can't argue with Mom. Happy it is.
Team happy. Sounds great.
Totally behind you, Joy.
So there's this preferred emotion, and we kind of liked it to be that simple. Now, I don't think Riley's mom wanted her to repress her real feelings. She was just in such a tough place herself. Keeping a positive attitude, keeping the family moving forward was so hard. If her daughter could just be happy and she didn't have to worry about her daughter too. And so she put that on her. And so Riley does. She suppresses all the other emotions. He says, okay, I'm going to pretend to be happy. And then what happens? Well, you got to watch the movie to find out. But this is the beginning of a really difficult and a dark time for her because she wasn't allowed to have the conversation with her of the complexity of it. You know, kind of back to that food analogy, you know, I find that some of the most interesting foods aren't just having a lot of one thing, but sometimes having a food that is, you know, complemented by another food that's a little bit different. Like, you know, how cream sort of tames the acids in coffee and fills out the richness of it, or how, you know, jelly, the sweetness of jelly seems to complement the sweetness and the saltiness of peanut butter and make it really a great peanut butter sandwich. But even it's not only things that kind of harmonize with each other's flavors, but things that really contrast with each other. I think of how I like to put yogurt, cool, kind of bland, wet cool yogurt on very spicy curry. And somehow these completely different flavors go together to make this just a really interesting food. And there's a lot of other examples of that. In fact, you find with our emotions, this idea of maybe the two most far apart emotions of joy and of sadness, when we put those together, we give it a term that gets its name from eating, from flavors. We call it bittersweet, a bittersweet memory. A memory that is joyful, or an experience that is joyful, but has some sadness to it at the same time. And somehow we single those out as really important, really valuable, really wonderful experiences for ourselves. So that's on your outlines. Joy exists in the presence of different and contrasting emotions. Until we're open to that, until we allow that to happen in other people's lives, there's going to be something missing. So think of all the important, the essential human traits that wouldn't exist if we could only be joyful people, if we could only be, you know, one-trick ponies, all the stuff that would be missing. I think of empathy. I really don't think empathy just derives from joy. Empathy derives from sadness, feeling someone else's pain, feeling their sadness, and that pulls out within us with a hopeful perspective our ability to be empathetic. I think about justice. Justice doesn't come from joy. I think justice comes from, what, anger? It comes a little bit from the whole idea of disgust as well. We can't let things be like that. And so out of that comes our call for justice. I believe courage comes out of what? Fear. It isn't, if you're not afraid of something and you do something, you aren't courageous. You just did it. I mean, you're only courageous when fear is present, but you choose to move forward anyway. What? Because you have that vision of a hopeful future, a future of promise, and so you move forward into it. We're going to be talking about all these traits more specifically in the weeks to come, but I think Jesus was a good example. Jesus was not joyful all the time. In fact, if you think about the figure of Jesus in the New Testament, I would say that, yeah, joyful probably wasn't the word I would put the most often on him. Compassionate a lot of times. He definitely had a sense of disgust towards the people that were just getting it wrong. There was sadness over the plight of people. There was anger at times that he displayed. And basically, I think it's summed up in this verse from Ephesians. We must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. Grow up in every way, with whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth and building itself up in love. All these parts working together, different parts, working together properly. Not just lots of emotions all over the place, but all of them playing their role to help build us up with the emotional intelligence that we can drive and continue to grow into. I think that's what it's all about. And I think we're going to find that what is true within you is also true between us. That verse I just read from Ephesians is not talking about the body of an individual, talking about us as a body of people. But I think it works just as well within us. And I think we're going to find all these things that we're learning about how we let and encourage and enhance the diversity that's within us to make us whole is also what's going to allow us to be a community. It's going to allow us to be a body of people. So those are some key things for us to hold on to. So why talking about this today? What are you supposed to do with all this? First of all, be yourself. Be your whole self. Psychologists talk about the suppression of emotions, and the Bible didn't have that kind of language to offer, but nonetheless, it continues to reach out and ask us to embrace our whole self. Then don't just be yourself, but love yourself. Love your whole self. When you make a list of the people that you love, how far do you have to get down that list until you mention yourself? Maybe we need to love ourselves first, and from that, find the love that we have for other people. Not just the love for a person we might be or we know we ought to be or that we would like to be, but the person that we are. Also, value your range of emotions. Get to know them. Make your console big so lots of emotions can have their place at that table and help drive you. And then allow others to do the very same thing. And as much as it is in your power, help other people to be safe with their emotions and to explore them and to find how they work. Let's see how that happened in Riley's life.
All right, here you go. Your new expanded console is up and running.
Oh, wow.
Cool, upgrade.
Ooh. Hey, whoops, wait, did I just do that?
Hey, guys, what's puberty?
I don't know. It's probably not important.
Whoa, I have access to the entire curse word library. This new console is done.
Sorry, I did it again. My bad.
You're getting to the rink.
Now, when you get out there, you be aggressive.
I know, Dad.
But not too aggressive.
You know, you guys don't have to come to every game.
Are you kidding? I'm not missing one. Go, Foghorn!
Go, Riley!
Oh. Okay, I gotta go.
They love us.
Yeah, Mom and Dad are pretty cool.
Guys, of course they are, but we can't show it.
You ready?
run for your dead feet.
On our left! On our left!
Let's just try not to get all smelly this time.
Oh, Mom and Dad are watching us fail.
Not my mom!
We've been through a lot lately, that's for sure. But we still love our girl. She has great new friends, a great new house. Things couldn't be better. After all, Riley's 12 now. What could happen?
What could happen after 12? So expand your counsel. Let your whole self be your team. Let's pray. God, we thank you for the complexity of the people that each and every one of us is. It's hard. We talk about it. We can laugh about it. We think we have it under control. The truth is we don't. We would ask that you help us to see the real self that was within us, the one you gave birth to, the one that you are at work in, the one that you love without condition. Help us to be that whole person. Help us to extend that same hand of acceptance and openness to the people around us that they can be those people as well. We know that you are at work within us. You are giving us the vision of that world and that life. Let us hold on to it and let us play it as a team. In your name we pray. Amen.